T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And here we are for hour number 2. All we're trying to do is keep you entertained until Chris Moore takes over at 1 o'clock. Gallo and Loogie, one of the great nicknames of all time. You have to admit, Loogie just makes you sound cool, Loogie. You know? What would you rather be, Tommy? Hey, Tommy. What's up, Tom? Not that there's anything wrong with the name Tommy. It's just that Loogie's better. That's all. All right, let's talk basketball with a guy who, for some reason, I don't think he thinks I admire his work, but I actually do. I listened to him with Brian Scalabrine on the NBA channel, and the truth is, I certainly don't listen for him, for Veal. I listen for you, Frank. You have to keep him in line because he's a very, very big Boston Celtic homer. It's almost just...
Oh, my God.
It's bad.
Isn't it?
Oh,
really.
Well, you know what he does that annoys me? The wheeze. Wee, I know. I mean, come on, wee. You're a net more than you are a Celtic. Are you kidding me, Frank?
Yeah, but Brad Stevens is his boy. Danny Ainge is his boy. Ugh. He's a Celtic now through and through, big time. By the way, a loogie, isn't it like a loogie a name for something else?
Yeah. No, and Loogie was actually just mentioning that to me off air, and I said, it doesn't matter, though. It's still cool. You don't think that's a good nickname?
I don't know. You want to be named after Spit?
So what would you call him, then? Tommy? Thomas?
Give me the full name.
Thomas Lugauer.
Yeah, Loogie.
There you go.
Actually, you know what? In that case, it's not bad.
There you go. What were you going to say?
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I heard the update. So Aaron Boone is interviewing for the Yankees. Is it true that Chris Carlin, Maggie Gray, and Bart Scott were the only 3 people not interviewing for the Yankee job? Is that true?
Well, are you interviewing for the Yankee job?
Am I? First of all, I guess this means that you and I are not getting the afternoon show.
No, we just missed the cut. But here's the good news. You'll actually get to be on the afternoons of WFAN after Mike basically banned you for the last decade.
Well, that was the Garden banning me. Mike had to do whatever the Garden told me. By the way, I'll also say this, too. I know, like, some people don't want to say anything about the afternoon people, and by not saying anything, you're actually saying a lot. So I will say this, and I know Maggie because I've dealt with her at Sports Illustrated, lovely woman. I don't know Bart Scott, so I can't comment on him. But Chris Carlin, who I've known for a long time and is a great guy, and I hope he does really well. Because it's not, you know, it's not an easy show to replace those guys, so it's not going to be easy. So I will come out and say something about Chris and hope he does really well, as opposed to not saying anything.
Well, who's not saying something?
Well, I mean, I've heard some people say, I don't want to say anything. But by not saying anything, you're kind of saying a lot, in my opinion.
Well,
but I like Chris. Chris is a good guy, and I think he's going to do a good job.
Well, that is saying a lot, because you tend to be a very negative, angry person. So for you,
How am I negative and angry? I keep it real.
All right, whatever you
and
want
I like,
to call
Mike
it.
Does, Mike, I, you know, Mike and Chris did a great job. I like their show. And Mike alone is funny. And I think the internet age and kind of Twitter has kind of given him a second life, kind of like it gave me a second career in a much different way. It's just because people want to beat me up for the things I say on Twitter. But the whole Twitter crowd back after this, all those guys kind of gave Mike, you know, like a little bit of a boost, I think.
Oh, I completely agree with you. I think that the social media age has helped kind of like the reformation of Mike Francesa in the second part of his career. I agree with you.
No, it's made it great. And the show, you know, and because of that, it is kind of enjoyable, but I think he knows that too, though.
No, I think he has an understanding. Even though I don't tweet, okay, I'm not on Twitter, I don't do it. I think he understands that the social media age is kind of, it's enhanced his brand, if you will.
Yeah, and I think too, like if you went back, first of all, if everything that you and I say on radio, we have somebody there like monitoring everything we say, we're going to screw up. There's going to be
constantly
times we make predictions that are wrong. Like, can you imagine if this was going on like 20 years ago?
Oh, my God.
Material they'd have.
Tons of it. Especially when you're on the radio for 3 hours a day, 5 hours a day, 4 hours a day, you're going to say a lot of dumb things along the way. There's no doubt.
Yeah. And don't you also kind of forget, like, you might have liked the team or liked the player maybe like 2 weeks ago, and then, like, your opinion changes.
Just sure.
The way it is. It doesn't mean that, like, you're try to trick people
no.
into thinking that that you don't like that.
No,
anyway.
We all flip-flop. You know, we kill politicians for it, but the truth is we're all a bunch of flip-floppers. We really are.
Anyway, I wanted to make sure I said that about Chris.
Well, I agree with you. I think Carlin's a very talented guy. I was talking to Maggie earlier. Bart Scott is, I've talked to him. He knows a lot. I mean, this idea that Bart Scott doesn't know anything other than football is ridiculous. I was talking basketball
But explain that to me, though. What do you need to know? Like, Boomer Esiason never played hockey, but he became a huge hockey
fan. Oh, my God. He probably knows more hockey than anybody at the station. I don't even think it's that close.
But yeah. I will say this, from doing, like, a lot of ESPN stuff, and I really get into hockey during the playoffs. The hockey playoffs are terrific. The regular season, it's too much.
Right.
And especially with the three teams in town, it feels like they play every single night.
Oh, yeah.
It's too much. And, and they're always playing the same team, because if the team is traveling to this part of the country, they'll play all three teams at once. So it's too much.
Yeah.
It's not interesting.
But
the playoffs are tremendous. And, like, Pittsburgh is great. I love Ovechkin. The Rangers are obviously good. The NHL has the playoff thing figured out. There's no doubt about that.
Well, I'll tell you, the NBA right now, they are, even in a league in which we assume the Warriors are winning the West and the Cavs will figure it out in the East, though I'm a little skeptical, the ratings all across the board right now in the NBA is way up. I mean, the league appears to be very, very healthy right now, even for a regular season that you two could argue, what does it really mean? People
and
care.
And it's interesting, too. I think if you look at some of the things that have gone on with football, with players kneeling, and some of the players that kneel, nobody really even knows who some of those guys are. But in the NBA, which, you know, you have players who are very outspoken on social issues, including obviously the Golden State Warriors and their head coach, you know, Stan Van Gundy, Greg Popovich, but LeBron, very socially active. But yet, like, when it came to the anthem, I think, like, Adam Silver, I don't think they were going to do anything to any players that didn't stand, even though there is a rule for it. But I think the players are smart enough to say, you know what, let's not get everybody focused on kneeling for the anthem. Let's try to attack things in another way. So I think that part of it, that's not an issue. And I think that makes, you know, I think for the most part, the fans like a lot of these NBA players. And there's a new crew coming in with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and the way that Porzingis is playing. So we're already, because LeBron, at some point, it might not happen until he's 50, is going to slow down. But I think people are now seeing a younger group of players coming in. The interest level has been off the charts. There's a lot of interest in Lonzo Ball, even though he's been terrible, but there's still a lot of interest in him, and I think Kristaps getting off to the good start, and the same thing with Embiid. Have you ever seen Embiid play in person?
Yes, one time.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing?
He's incredible. But you know what it comes down to this with him? He's just got to prove he could get through a full season and stay healthy, and that's the biggest issue he's facing, because if, God forbid, this guy can stay healthy, he is an insane talent.
Yeah, it's too bad, like, he did that against the Lakers, you know, at 10:30 at night.
I know.
A lot of us are sleeping with the 46 points and the 15 rebounds. But it's not only, like, when you see him in person, you're blown away by how big he is. He's gigantic. And he's got unbelievable skill, but he also has, like, kind of like a Shaquille O'Neal kind of showmanship to him.
Yes. Well, that adds to it, because he's become, like, a Twitter superstar. And he's funny, and he's direct.
He's hilarious.
And I think that helps when the fans can feel more, you know, they could, like, kind of communicate with the players in a way.
Evan, the game that I was at when he played against the Knicks, and he had a big game against them in Philadelphia, he missed, like, a dunk. Like, he came up short, and, like, he fell down. So there's, like, a comedy, like, to him as well.
Yes.
He's a great player, but he does things that over the course of a game will make you laugh. He's a great entertainer. There's no doubt about it.
Let me ask you this, and we'll get to the Knicks eventually at some point. You mentioned Lonzo Ball. Nah, you know what? I put you on because You watch everything with the NBA, and, you know, you cover it. When you're doing that serious NBA show, you're not talking Knicks for 4 hours. God forbid you'd have, like, two listeners. So so let me ask you this about Lonzo. Last night was a bad look, because there's a scuffle late in that game. My boy Brooks involved. My boy Brooks getting in there. And Lonzo Ball walks away from it, and then after the game basically says, "I don't want no tech," as his answer. That has got to tick off his teammates, Frank, to do something like that.
I think it would. I would say this. His teammates do seem to like him, because he is a guy that gets his teammates involved, and you can tell that he doesn't like all the attention. You know, our boy Ohm, who used to cover the Nets for the Daily News a million years ago, he now works for ESPN, and he's out there covering the Lakers. He really covers Lonzo Ball. Like, every day he writes a story about him, and it's one thing to cover the Cavs and you're writing about LeBron. Like, the Lonzo Ball thing has not really been that interesting, because he hasn't been good, and then he had the issue with his brother overseas. But I would say this. I think that's probably a rookie mistake that the kid made. But his teammates do seem to like him, and he plays for his teammates, and he wants to share the ball. The big issues are going to be defensively. He's not good, and he can't shoot.
His shot looks completely broken.
Yeah, and I get it. I know I was told a million times over that his father is a marketing genius and he's the greatest father alive. I get all that. I don't think his father did him any favors. You know, it's one thing to say my son's going to be a terrific NBA player. He's going to be better than Steph Curry. He's going to be better than this guy. He's going to be better than that guy. Any NBA player, a veteran player, is going to go after a rookie, especially a high-profile rookie. Now you add to it that his father's going around telling everybody that he's better than you. Look what Patrick Beverly did the first time.
Oh, my God. That was great. That was great. But because his father put a bullseye on him, and it's unfortunate. It put him in a very tough spot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, too, like Patrick Beverly, that first time walking around telling everybody on first team all defense, it's tough for the kid. I give him credit for the way that he's handled it. And anytime you see him in an interview, he does not want to be interviewed. It's not like he's the one looking for the attention. He's not the one bragging about himself. It's his father. His father, at some point, got to just tone it down a little bit. He's not helping him.
Frank, we are on the verge. I don't know when it's going to happen, but there's about to be an all-out Twitter battle between Lonzo Ball and the President of the United States. You know that's coming. I mean, that's LeVar teetering. Ball. LeVar Ball, yeah, forget. I'm sorry, not Lonzo. LeVar Ball and the President are about to go at it, and it may be the thing that breaks Twitter.
I don't know because I would think that those three families, regardless of like how you feel politically or what side you're on, I think they're smart enough to know that they caught a real lucky break. And let's face it, I think if the president, if he had been in the United States at the time and there was some issue going on here, it's like three guys from UCLA getting arrested. The fact that he was over there, and obviously somebody in the administration said, you know what? You should help these kids out. Plus that company Alibaba is going to be your owner.
Oh yeah. Can't wait for that.
With the Nets. You know, I think all those things factored in. So I think the president took the opportunity and said, yeah, you know what? This is going to make me look good. He blew it then by tweeting out, you think the UCLA players
thank me? Which they did. They ended up thanking him a few hours later, if I'm not mistaken.
No. At the
press conference.
All three players read from a prepared statement. They all made sure that they thanked the Chinese government. They all mentioned that the Chinese police treated them well, and they all thanked the president. I'm sure those were like three of the requirements, and they admitted their guilt. They're very lucky.
First of all, Frank, why are they playing basketball over there? Why are they in China? Why?
Well, if you're going to do it, just do it next week when school is on Thanksgiving break. That would actually make sense.
No, but why are we going to a communist country to play college basketball? I mean, seriously.
It has something to do with that company, Alibaba, somebody from the Pac-10 or UCLA must be connected to it. It's ridiculous. But you know that the kid, I think he drives LiAngelo Ball, drives a Maserati because his brother, you know, his father have money.
Right.
I don't know why the kid feels the need to go
to go shoplifting. Yeah.
And by the way, it was three stores.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. What are they thinking? That is so ridiculous. The only reason why I think there could be a Twitter battle is that LeVar Ball said recently that the president didn't help LiAngelo get released from shoplifting.
Oh, I didn't see
He
that.
Said who when asked about it.
He's a knucklehead.
Dude, there's a tweet coming from the president, and you know it.
I didn't know that. That's interesting. He's a knucklehead.
Yes, indeed. We're talking to Frank Isola. Let's get to the Knicks. Do you think Porzingis right now, I mean, he's getting physically abused by a lot of players. We saw it last night. Do you think he's not getting calls, in your opinion?
I think he's doing a little flopping. I think there's probably a little sense that, you know, he's got to earn it to get those calls. He still has played pretty well, and there have been some games where he has gotten calls. You do see now from a lot of teams, and I think like the Celtics did this a lot the first 2 years, where they put Marcus Smart on him, and they put like a smaller defender on Porzingis and try to get physical with him. And, you know, LeBron, not that LeBron is a smaller defender, but, you know, LeBron did that the other night on Monday night when they played, especially in the fourth quarter. But I think I still think he gets calls. The big thing for him is going to be staying healthy over the course of the season, because the first 2 years he's missed 26 games, and if he's going to miss 13 games this year, it's going to be very difficult for the Knicks to make the playoffs.
You think the elbow's bothering him right now? Is affecting him during this little slump?
We never hear about it after they win.
Of course not.
I don't believe that. The big thing too, Evan, as you know, by Wednesday night, think about this, when the Knicks play Toronto and that game is over, the Knicks will have already played 12 home games.
Oh, I know.
And a lot of that has to do with the Grammy Awards that are going to be at Madison Square Garden. For some reason, when the Grammy Awards are in your building, and the Lakers have gone through this, and the Clippers have the last few years, they need the building for 2 weeks. So over those 2 weeks, you're on the road. And it's going to catch up to the Knicks at some point, but I think the schedule's been very favorable. The opponents have been favorable, so it's allowed them to get off to a good start and gain a little momentum, gain a little confidence. But the real test for them, they're gonna have to make up these road games.
Oh, my
point.
God. Dude, and it's a stretch of 15 of 18 games on the road, and then 16 of 20 if you want to go a day further. That is – and that's all for the Grammys? That's the reason why?
Absolutely. It's ridiculous. It's Garden wants to make a lot of money. You're going to book something like that, but it really takes a toll on your basketball team. I'm sure when Jeff Hornacek saw the schedule, he was probably thinking, maybe I'll be here when they have to play all these road games. But he's actually done a good job. But I think the start for them, it's been good. You know, they should have beaten the Cavaliers the other night.
Of course, they blew a lead, and you have Knicks fans celebrating it. They blew a 23-point lead.
Now, where are you on that one?
I'm disgusted by it. They blew a lead. I would not be happy.
I was surprised, too. I mean, to me, first of all, you've already beaten them once this year, so it's not like it's some unbeatable opponent.
Right.
You were up 23. You gave up 43 points in the fourth quarter, and I had Nick Van Summel, oh, it's a big deal. You know, we're having fun, and I thought what Enes Kanter did was great, and that clearly sparked the team.
He couldn't even be on the team. Frank, he wasn't even on the floor for the last 5 minutes of the game. Big, tough guy. That matters. That's a big factor. You can't tell me how tough of an enforcer the guy is. I love this guy. He's great. He reminds me of Charles Oakley. Meanwhile, in the last 5 minutes, Frank, Hornacek said, I can't play the guy.
No, I know, because he can't defend. And I like what he did because he stood up for a young teammate. I think that part of it is good.
That was great.
I think everyone overrated the impact of something like that. Because you remember the game last year when Russell Westbrook, I was playing against Kevin Durant. I think it was the second time that the Warriors came back to Oklahoma City. And Durant got into it with Westbrook. And Kanter was on the – so a timeout was called. And as they're going to their respective benches, the two players are yelling at each other. Kanter pops off the bench in street clothes. And he starts going after Durant. So I think Kanter kind of likes playing that role of, I'm going to stick up for my teammates. I want to make a name for myself. Because, come on, Evan. You and I know. There's one thing that's not going to happen in an NBA game. There's not going to be fights.
Yeah, no.
Because the NBA has done a great job legislating that out of the sport. The players know you throw a punch, you're going to get a 5-game suspension. If it's anything worse than that, you could get a 10-game. You think LeBron James, I can get in LeBron's face. You think LeBron's going to fight me during a basketball game?
He'd also be intimidated by you. You're very, very tough.
Maybe, because I do have the pen. But he's not going to, LeBron James is going to waste 5-game salary on fighting with Enes Kanter. It's not going to happen.
No,
so a lot of
not.
That is kind of – it's a little fake, but I do like that he did it in this case because I think the Knicks needed to do that.
I agree.
But I'm also not going to overrate, what it meant.
No, of course not, especially when he can't be on the floor late in the game. What I did like from Kanter was when he says, there's too much fraternizing and these are our enemies, they're our opponents. I mean, it's an old-school thought that I think appeals to a lot of Knicks fans that this isn't just buddy-buddy, we're having a good time. The guys you're facing, they're your opponents. Let's not, hug and kiss throughout the game.
Yeah, you mean, when he pals around with Westbrook all summer long and is playing pickup games, he's fraternizing technically, right? But I do agree with him. Oh, and Charles Oakley was like that. I remember being in the locker room after games, and a visiting player would walk in. Maybe he was friendly with one of the Knicks, or they went to college together, whatever the case may be. And I remember Oakley mumbling, under his breath, that guy shouldn't be in here. Get the heck out of our locker room. That stuff I do agree with.
Right.
The fraternizing, it gets to be too much. But it's the AAU culture. It's the guys that have the same agents.
Yeah.
It's LeBron saying it's a brotherhood. And we know, come on, LeBron, Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, and Carmelo, they're all boys. So they're always fraternizing.
When you look, and it's 15 games, and they've played a ton of them at home, 10 of 15 at home. So we all get the deal. And you mentioned next week it's even going to be more. Do you think this is a playoff team? Is it too early to tell in your mind? Or what do you think with them in that regard?
It'll all be about Porzingis and his health. If you tell me that Porzingis is going to play in 70-plus games, and then they're going to have a very good chance. Because we still don't know about Philly. Now, Philadelphia, they've done the opposite. They've actually played a lot of road games. So they have a lot of home games to make up, including tonight, and that's a great one. They get the Warriors in the building.
Yes.
Right, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes.
So my thing is, Evan, make sure you're playing important games in March and April. That's what the Knicks need for their development. Now, I know a lot of fans are going to say, we're not going to get a high enough pick, but look at the way it is now. Dallas stinks. Atlanta stinks. Phoenix stinks. The Lakers aren't very good. So, like, even at this point, even if the Knicks weren't very good this season, I still don't think they're going to be one of, like, the
not
worst
even close.
Eight teams.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you.
It's tough. So play important games in March and April and get a good pick in the draft. Because guess what? You know, Steph Curry was the what? The seventh pick of the draft. Klay Thompson was the eighth pick. So you can get,
of course,
you can still get good players in the draft. I don't want to hear that you have to have the number one pick. I mean, come on, Jahlil Okafor was taken ahead of Kristaps Porzingis. You think Philadelphia wants to do that one over?
No, of course. Kawhi Leonard was taken like in the teens,
right.
I think, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. Look at you. See, you actually want to fill in. You know what we should do?
What?
Why don't you fill in some days for Scalabrine?
I don't think they'd let me. I think I have an exclusive deal here at WFAN. I don't think they would let me do that.
Well, you know, I might have a little juice over there. Let me ask you this. Do you think that we should change the name of our show and name it after us? Because, you know, you and Joe, your show's named after you.
Yeah, isn't it like the, what's the name of the show? Like the opening or the something?
The starting lineup.
Yeah.
Right?
Here's the thing. Can I critique SiriusXM? Will they mind? They got to stop with these nicknames like, oh, we're the opening drive. We're the, you know, the end zone. We're the first pitch, you know. They do a lot of that stuff. I think that's dopey.
Well, I think why they do that is because they have a lot of fill-ins.
Yeah, no, you're right. But when okay, that's fine. You're right about that. When it's a consistent group of guys, it's your personality. So, yeah, I would call it Frank and Veal. That would be the name. There you go.
How about Scal and Ice or the White Mamba and Ice?
There it is. All right. I'm good for that.
Well, one guy said we should call it Drama and the Mamba.
You know what? That's a great name. I like that because you are Frankie very drama-filled. I like that.
But, come on. The NBA, that's what makes the NBA great. The NBA is a drama league, and LeBron is the king of drama.
That is true. You're right.
The NBA has something that the other sports just don't have. And, like, during the offseason, it all plays into it. Who's friends with whom?
It's
and
so
who doesn't
true.
Like, and who's
you know
dating
what?
This woman?
Here's the one thing, though, Frank, that they need. I'm talking about to explode. I know the ratings are up. Everything's great. They need a little bit more competitive balance. If you can get more openness on who's getting to the finals, I think the league could really explode and hit heights they've never hit before. I do agree with that.
And that's why they have to go 1-16. It's that time. And I don't care about that Golden State might have to play the Washington Wizards in the second round. I don't care.
I'm in on that. I've wanted that for years. I'm totally with you.
You know, can you imagine a couple of years from now if the Knicks play the Lakers in a playoff game?
Be great.
In a playoff series? That would be
a bad thing. And I don't want to hear about travel. It's 2017. Give me a break. They're sitting first
class.
They're
not traveling by stagecoach.
Exactly.
They'll be fine. The players will be fine doing it. Hey, what about when Golden State plays Memphis in the playoffs? That's a long trip.
Oh, yeah, of course it is. Of course it is. All right, Frank. Forget
having a radio show. You and I should run the league.
Yeah, we really should, yeah. The radio show's wasting our time. We should run the NBA, and Silver can go run the NFL since they want him.
And let me make this clear one final time.
Yes.
Good luck to the great Chris Paulin, Maggie Gray, and Bart.
Amen. Yeah. I'm totally with you. I hope they're the best. I appreciate it, Frank. Thank you very much
all
for
right,
popping
thank
out.
Thank you, Evan. Take care.
Frank Isola.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.